Hello and welcome to our new Champions podcast series here on Buzz.ie in association with Subaru Ireland. Over the next four episodes, we'll be chatting to All-Ireland winners about what it takes to become a champion. Today's show was a special one, not just because it's our first, but also because we got to join Subaru, official car partner of Dublin GAA, at Rally School Ireland in County Monaghan. While we were there, myself and Damien Donoghue chatted to Paddy Anders and Michael Fitzsimons about their own success and how they've gotten to where they are today. Thanks very much, lads, for chatting to us. We're here at Rally School of Ireland, obviously, in Monaghan, with Subaru. Michael, you did this before last year. Have you got any tips for Paddy?
No, just commit to it. You have someone helping you, so it's unbelievable experience. You're going some speed around it, so you think it's a bit dangerous, but it's safe enough.
We just get competitive now. I imagine that put in the team, this is going to be really exciting stuff later on to see who was the fastest lap.
Yeah, definitely. There was only four of us last year, and we're still very competitive, so there's a bigger bunch here.
Fitzy is the most competitive person I've ever come across in my life, so he will absolutely be racing around the track to try and beat someone.
Yeah, as we're sitting in the room here, he's just looking out at the car to catch all the little tips he can get out there, what bend to take.
I feel the pressure because I did it last year as well, and I wasn't good.
That's it. You have to beat the newbies.
I know.
Obviously, lads, we're here today because of champions. We're discussing what it takes to become a champion. And Paddy, you've had an interesting Dublin career in terms of your first stint as a Dublin footballer, and then you've come back. The second stint you were back, then you were forward. Can you talk us through just how you got on and what has brought you to where you are today?
I suppose I started out kind of young enough with the senior team. I think it was 18 or 19, just at the end of Pillar Caffrey's reign. So, obviously Dublin at that time were kind of knocking on the door, and I think the more so myself and Fitzy are the same age, and a lot of the guys, kind of Keno Sullivan and guys like that at our age group, we're just fortunate that as we've kind of started to get a little bit older and come into our peak, that the Dublin team has become obviously a lot stronger and has had a little bit more success over the period of time, which is just great. Very fortunate to be a part of that as well. But obviously personally, you kind of develop and gain experience and mature a bit, but I think the team as a whole did that as well, and obviously that came along from the coaches we had, from Pillar up to Pat, and obviously to now with Jim. So it's a great position to be in, and it's been a fantastic experience over the last number of years. But just long may it continue, you know.
You were moulded in the home of champions, weren't you? DCU.
DCU, yeah. Fitzy's a UCD man here, so he's kind of been bitter about that. we never lost to UCD. In 5 years I was in DCU, we bet them every year, so I think there's probably a little bit of needle there. But I started out as a back in DCU, just because we had a lot of forwards that we brought in at that time, so I was like, who could we fit into the backs? And what turned out to be a couple of weeks actually turned into being a couple of years playing in the back line, which was unnervy enough for me, to be honest. I'd never played there before. It's obviously a very specialised position. You see someone like Fitzy when he plays there, I'm definitely not at that standard, nor was I at the time, but that was Dublin's needs, I suppose. Back then we didn't have the luxury or the depth of players, I suppose, that we have at our disposal now. So it was a great experience. You learnt a hell of a lot, but I don't think I'd be going back into the full back line anytime soon, I'd imagine.
Michael, well, you think of Dublin players now, and you think of these guys who have had success all throughout their career and win everything at underage, but you actually came the long way around. You were talking before about struggling against the Coolin minor team, yet you've come now to Man of the Match in the Ireland finals. How in the name of God have you done it?
Yeah, that seems to be a stick that I get beaten with quite a bit now. But I was on the minor B's in my first year minor. And then, fortunate enough, I'd say, to like Paddy, I got thrown in to the fullback line. It's probably more a halfback, and I got thrown into the fullback line probably around, just because they need someone in fullback, when I was second year minor. And yeah, I found my feet there, started enjoying it. As Paddy said, I have a tendency to be a little bit competitive, and fullback sort of suits you that, because you have a personal battle really, just with you're just going up against full forward, especially back then when it was sort of man on man. It was just your own responsibility, so I really took to that and really enjoyed it, went after it. And fortunate enough, then I went to UCD, and Davey Billings looked after me, and great coach and cooler, but Davey Billings looked after me, and that helped them. And Pat Kira got the job, because they would have been close friends, and I got a call from Pat, because Dublin were going through transition, I think, around 2000.
They needed someone to replace me, yeah. Could we get anyone in instead of Paddy Anderson?
They were looking for people to play in the back, so Paddy done me a favour, so it's worked out well for the both of us.
Yeah, big boots to fill on that one. I suppose you're talking about your competitiveness there. We heard it before we started. You're delighted to be back in the Senior B Championship after.
Yeah, we're in the Senior B with Cool, and they just had to rejig the championship bit. Unfortunately, we're down in that, but hopefully we'll be back up.
You've got the win at the weekend. That's the most important.
Yeah, that's it. We've got Temple out, so we're happy out. But Whitehall next, so we'll see how we go.
And come here, when you talk about being competitive as a cornerback, individual battles, one-on-one, Who's the toughest that you've come across, and do you enjoy facing the toughest opponents you can get, or do you like the odd easy day?
Yeah, well, like when you come across someone tough and you rectify what you did wrong the last time, it's enjoyable. But Paddy probably knows Mossy, who's down here, Mossy Quinn, used to give me a terrible time in training at the start, like, and I didn't really enjoy going up against him again because I just couldn't seem to get my head around them.
And, it was his pace, I think, wasn't it?
His lightning quick quick movement. No, but Mossy's very good in the sense that he was a footballer who wasn't fast, but he didn't try and make himself fast. He was just very smart with his movement. And yeah, he gave me a bit of trouble. So yeah, no, you enjoy the challenge, like, and trying to figure out what went wrong and make amends, like, so yeah. I can't really remember the question.
Is that more difficult though, to deal with somebody who's intelligent with the movement or somebody who's lightning fast?
Two different challenges. Yeah, it depends the time and depends what kind of ball. And if someone's got great movement and they're getting good ball, they'll win in dangerous positions. But the person who's lightning fast might win ball that's not as good, but probably a further in the goal. So different players. Patrick would be a bit in the mould of Mossy.
What a
lightning quick, exactly.
Very, very cute, I was going to say, like, just for his movement.
We ended up marking each other for pretty much the whole summer.
Yeah, I think it's like it's nearly a false barometer then train. Like, actually, sometimes you'd be in, you think she's not going well, like, I'm doing well on Paddy, but I've marked him so much, like, yeah. you know all his movements.
You know his stocks.
Yeah.
Pretty much so.
We know each other inside out at this stage.
Paddy, how do you keep motivated after, I mean, you've gone out for another All Ireland? I remember straight away after the match last year, Johnny Cooper, just his first thing was, "We're not finished yet." Like, that is something that you'd always hear in every sport, teams try to keep that hunger going after they've achieved success. What is it that has kept Dublin going?
I think, again, we're probably in a fortunate position where we've younger guys coming through, and that's, I suppose, the work that's gone on with our development squads and things like that. But the older guys, it's never a case of, okay, that's great, let's enjoy that success. There's always a challenge for you. I mean, you see the competition for places within the team, and, like, I can't remember a time, especially in Jim's period as manager now, I think fifth or sixth season, where you could possibly say that guy's nailed on to be playing. I mean, there's always a challenge. You've got to be on your toes. You've got to be trying to perform. And if you're not, you just simply won't play. I mean, and that alone is a really strong motivation to you. So whatever about winning championships 2 or 3 years ago, or even winning last year's championship, the challenge this season is, can I perform and train, and can I become a better player? Because if you don't, if you stand still, or if you regress at all, well, then someone else is just going to take your place. And that's the ideal scenario for a team to be in, and for coaches to be in, to be able to have that, to say, okay, well, player X isn't performing, let's just put player Y straight in and the team isn't going to be weakened. But the reality is that some teams don't have that luxury, and no matter what, you can say that X, Y and Z are going to be playing every week, whereas with Dublin, that is the challenge. If you're not on your toes and you drop off a little bit, there's every chance that you're not going to be on the pitch. So that's a motivating thing for me, as I know it is for a lot of the guys there. It's whatever's gone in the past. I mean, All Ireland's 2-3 years ago, it's just not relevant now. It's about the here and now. It's about how do we perform in the National League a couple of weeks ago, and what we need to learn from that to push on for this season. So I think, Fitzy, you'd agree, we've been around quite a few years now. It's never once has motivation or hunger or anything like that been an issue for us. Teams have sometimes pushed us and got the better of us because we just haven't performed on a particular day. But in terms of motivation or taking your foot off the gas, it's just not there. It's not something we'd have, and it's certainly not something we have at the minute either.
I think the league has helped as well. Like, man, we go after each game in the league. Like, I think it's a great competition. It's like the way it's been run now. It's a lot more profile with it. A lot more people attending. The pitches are so much better. So the standards way up. Like, so every game we go into, we want to win the league. Like, and that helps. Like, you're not just waiting for a championship or something like that. That helps the lads. You're looking forward to each game. Like,
and within the group, I think 2014, Michael, 2015, maybe difficult enough that you were kind of not settled onto the team again. You went through a rocky patch, but with competition within the panel, other counties you hear of lads who aren't maybe getting their game, they might go off to the States or they might go off for a year or two out and you hear them coming back, but it doesn't seem to happen with Dublin. It's constant. People are willing to stay and fight for positions all the time. Is that because you have the carrot of Sam Maguire every year? Does that make it easier?
That and like Paddy said, like, you know that the squad is so competitive, so you have to accept that there are times that you might be out of favour or that someone's pushing a little bit better than you. And also, like, just the culture sort of around our team is that, like, lads know it's a team sport. And it's one of the things in GAA sometimes when you're not in the starting 15, you can see lads sulking and you're nearly not happy when your team's winning. Like, you can see people's body language. You can see people's body language and
why are you looking at Paddy?
Not Paddy. But seeing, like, I would have been on the bench in 2013 and parts of 14 and 15. But it was just like there's six subs coming on every game, and even that, you're pushing lads in training, so there's a huge way you can impact the team. So that's why lads stick at it.
I think the benefit we have and with our coaches, and I think it's straight down the line, there's no ambiguity with it. If you're playing well and you're playing well in training and you're playing well in games, you're going to be in the team. Yeah. And that's, I know Cody, Kilkenny, there was always that mantra around it as well. And as players, sometimes that could be frustrating as well if you've been around a couple of years and you've played really well, but you're going through a sticky patch with form or things like that. But as a whole, with players, you can't ask for more than that. It is the 100%, it's the fairest way. If you're performing and putting the work in, then you're going to be in the team. And that's it. You need to accept that. And you players, you know yourself. I mean, I'm in good form here. I'm struggling for a bit of form. I'm coming back from injury, any things like that. If you're not playing as well as you can, the odds are you're probably not going to be in the team. And as managers, that's black and white. That's the way it is. And it kind of cuts down on lads sulking or moaning because they know themselves probably, maybe I'm not at my peak form, but it's a long season. I mean, we've played 8 games to date already, and obviously throughout the championship there's a couple of more games, and I think this season more than ever with the restructuring of the championship and the games coming a lot quicker. It's not 3-week gaps, it's 2 weeks, in some cases it's even a 1-week gap, so the squad and the depth of squad is needed more so than ever in this season's championship. So you'll see, I think it would be rare to see many teams later on in the championship having the same 15 players playing week.
Yeah.
I mean, any sort of bang or any sort of knock and you could probably be ruled out and miss a couple of championship games. So it is just, you've got to get on with it. Like you say, we have our goals and how we approach things, and if you're playing well, you're in the team. If you're not, well, then you've just got to try and rectify that on the training pitch. But you can't really be moaning and kind of downing yourself. You've got to get your form back yourself, I suppose, more than anything.
Yeah, I suppose even the dynamic within the group, that when we hear of, like Kilkenny, we hear of the Dublin in-house games and how competitive they are at DCU, but if somebody is standing around moping, it would drain the whole energy from the team, but you wouldn't get the opportunity, I suppose, around Dublin to mope.
It'd be very noticeable. Like, it's just like it happens at times. Like, the lads are quick to wash it off, like, and just get on with it, like, and that's the main thing. Like people will be disappointed if they're starting, like, and that's acceptable as long as it doesn't linger. Like, and
it's also interesting the way you both speak about the hunger. Just it's nearly all about just trying to get into the team and trying to get, literally just to get playing football.
Yeah.
So would you subscribe to this whole thing of, they say that you're trying to play intercounty football, it's a slog and it's not enjoyable. From listening to you, I know it's you're winning all Ireland's and it's always going to help, but you generally do seem to just chat about the joy of playing football and want to get into the team. So is that something, would you say that, like, maybe it's overemphasised how difficult it is to be a county footballer?
It's completely optional is the first thing. Like,
yeah,
as in, you get a lot of lads, like, I don't know, you hear a good bit about lads giving out about it, and obviously there's commitment, but like we do it because we enjoy it. Like, we enjoy playing football, and like if it's too much, then like you can go and do it.
It's a very privileged situation to be in. I mean, obviously with Dublin it's great, we're very passionate about Dublin because we're from there, but I'm sure it's the same for guys in all their counties where they're from, to the opportunity to play and experience that. it's not easy 100% of the time, of course it is, especially we're kind of in our late 20s now, we're working as well, and there's times, look, you're going training in January or February and you know you're going to get the stones ran off you, and it's kind of, you're not overly enthusiastic about doing that, but you understand that there's a reasoning behind that, you're trying to improve as a player and you're looking further down the line for the days in the summer. But no, like Fitzy said, it's a huge privilege to be able to be in the position to be considered to be picked for the Dublin team or any county team, and the feeling, like I say, going out into Croke Park in the summer and playing in big championship games and the atmosphere and just the buzz about it, it's a really unique situation for people who are fortunate enough to be able to do that and to be able to be picked. And we won't be around forever, we're kind of elder guys in the team now, so it's even more, I suppose, enjoyable, more excitement now this season and every season now, because you know you might only have a couple of more years left after this. So, and obviously it helps, of course, that Dublin are successful and you're competing in the big games. But it's an honour, it's a privilege, and it's something that, of course, you enjoy. But yeah, there are challenges, but that's a part of it. If you want to have success and you want to achieve something special, you know, there's going to be sacrifices along the way, and you get on with it.
No, like any hobby or pastime, yeah. if you're committing to it, if you're trying too hard, something can get frustrating at times, or it can feel like it's a bit much and you can't balance it. But like anything, the majority of the time, if you're smart about it, you're able to balance it with work. And if you chat to management, if it's feeling like that, like, because I know people do say that the commitment levels are higher, like, but.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Yeah. When you were growing up in the 90s, looking at Dublin, maybe I suppose you would remember the 95, but a barren spell. And did you ever see when you were teenagers that there's the possibility we're going to go on and dominate for the period that you're currently in?
Was personally or
yeah,
or the
no,
team?
You personally looking at Dublin as a county growing up, like. Like the Kerrys were kind of dominating, the Ulster teams were taking control.
To be honest, when I was more into soccer, really, when I was younger, I only started playing Ga when I think it was about 12 or 13 years of age. Like, but my older brother started playing with Dublin around the late 90s, and that got me more interested into it. Obviously, I had a vested interest in it then, and took it up playing with Bridget's, and we were fortunate. We had a kind of successful underage team with St. Bridget's at the time, and like anything, I suppose, when you're winning it's more enjoyable. And slowly but surely the soccer kind of faded away and got more involved with GAA. But yeah, once that happens, you kind of get the bug. It's the same as anything. You go, this is great. You meet some great people, obviously. The atmosphere in GAA clubs, the same with Cool, I'm sure, with Fitzy. You just start really enjoying it, and then you get picked for whatever Dublin underage teams, and then it becomes the real goal, is to kind of go on and try and play with the senior team. But back then, obviously, Dublin weren't as successful. I mean, we're probably the main team in Leinster, and Galway and Kerry were winning All-Ireland, but it was always a dream. The success we've had over the last number of years, look, that's, you could never really see that, I suppose, when you're younger. You hope for something like that, but when it starts coming to fruition and becoming a reality, and that's, I suppose, the hard work that's gone on all around the county. It's just, we do realise we're very fortunate that this particular time in Dublin GAA is really fruitful, and we're just grateful we're part of it now. Will it always be like that in the future? There's absolutely no guarantees, but that's, we've, again, probably part of the motivation. You want to try and make the most of it while you're there and while you can, and while we're playing good football. So look, it's always a dream to try and get there in the end, and thank God over the last number of years it's been great. So
Michael, I was thinking the other day, I was going to play a junior B league game in Cavan.
Congratulations.
Did you win?
A really high standard there. Throughout the whole day, you'd be in desperate humour, kind of, you know, it was bite away at the back, just to be anxious about to play. You were talking before about how you don't have any self-doubt anymore.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That was in regard to one specific situation and was plastered as a headline.
It's on every website. Everybody has it. The man with no self-doubt. You not hear about it?
What a man.
Everybody.
What a man.
Is asking, how do you do it?
Mental guru.
I can't remember the exact, the exact situation, but it was regards, like, man marking or something like that I'd back myself a bit more. came out a bit like a bit definitive. I
pictured him when I was reading that as well. I pictured him just sitting before a game, meditating in a Buddha style position, and just
I do that. So like, but,
having a smoke in the dressing room.
I think I would have approached. Gaelic football very relaxed when I came into it first. I wouldn't be worrying too much about it. But then I think I overthought it a bit around when I wasn't playing. I was trying so much to improve that I was like trying everything. I was beating myself up, and I might have got a bit negative, and then you'd question stuff. But then I think as you get a bit more experience, I was a little bit less negative, and I wouldn't be worried about my performance. I went back to being a bit more relaxed, and I think that's how I may have said I lack self-doubt in certain situations with regards playing cornerback.
But in all seriousness, that would be, like, I mean, every player in any sport goes through it, where you've got that big game or a big race, whatever it is, coming up. Have you any like tips for him that is that kind of, that they're trying to get to the point where they're trying to be relaxed? You know, it's one of the things of don't overthink it.
At the risk of throwing out cliches, control the controllables, like, as in, I'll throw out a few more. I've so many are popping into my head right now. But no, just control what you can, like, as in preparing before, and then just like making sure you're positive going into it, like, as in
probably comes with experience. I mean, the older you get, and it's very hard for young players to have, you see the big challenge with them that they might have one great game or one great season, and it's trying to get that consistency the younger you are. But the older you kind of get, you gain those experiences, you see what works for you, you see, okay, I prepared for a game this way and I didn't perform. I prepared for a game this way and I did perform. And then you kind of just take note, and you use that experience and try and develop that consistency. And when you get to that stage where you know your body, you know mentally what works for you, you know what preparation works for you, it does give you that peace of mind, I suppose, to be able to relax. And you know, going into a big game, whether it's a big championship game in Croke Park, and you go, look, I've done the work, you know, I've trained really hard, I've looked after myself, and mentally I'm ready for this game. It does allow you to not complacency or anything like that, but it allows you to relax that, you know, okay, the work is done here, I know I'm going to perform here because I've done the work. And that just comes, I suppose, with a little bit of experience.
You can enjoy it a bit more, like going into games, like, instead of worrying whether your man wins ball and stuff like that, you just, you know, if I get on a few balls, I can do this. Or you accept that certain outcomes will happen. Like, you can't control if your man wins a ball. I don't know what position you play, but I can tailor it more that way. But you can be a bit more relaxed. It's better off not chasing perfection. Like, so if you're going into a game and you're nervous, you just need to know what you can do in that game. It's like you can show hard, you can work hard, you can tackle, and then you build yourself into a game. Like, I don't know, that's sort of how I'd approach it. Like,
and over the years since you started with Dublin, and the first couple of years were you know, you weren't winning all Ireland's, winning Leinster titles, but have you noticed a change in the atmosphere in the dressing room now as you have gained the experiences? You know, was there nervous tension first all Ireland? Was it now going into this stage? Is it a completely different atmosphere about the dressing room?
There's a lot more experience that we've seen. When stuff happens, we've been through it before, so we can draw on that experience and see what's worked well for us. So I don't know, that's one thing anyway.
I'd say it has. I think it's kind of reference point for Dublin, and the success they had was always kind of that 2011 victory that Dublin under Pillar had kind of moved up a level of being in Meath's shadow to then dominating the Leinster Championship. Then the challenge was obviously then to try and push from being Leinster Champions onto All-Ireland Championship. They're big steps, and you can see that with any, it's very rare for any team to have success just totally out of the blue, like Leicester City aside, something like that. That's nearly a freak. There's usually a build-up and a period of progression to being successful, and I suppose that was Dublin's journey as well. And then getting over the line and getting that monkey off your back, I suppose, for want of a better word, I think that was a big thing mentally for Dublin and for that group of players to do that and to have that success. And then it's really hard to make all the sacrifices and do all the mad training and do all the hard work if you don't get the reward at the end of it. You're kind of thinking, Jesus, is this really worth it? Is it worth it? But when you get over the finish line, you can say, that's what works and that's what's required to be successful. You have to pay the price, and that was a big moment obviously for Dublin, and the experience you gained, it does change your mentality and it does give you a little bit more confidence in it. And obviously we've tried to just build and build and build on that, like Fitzy was saying, in terms of experience. But I think the great thing what Dublin have been fortunate with is the younger guys that seem to come through, whatever work is going on in the development squads, under 16 and mine under 21, the young guys come in and they have that mentality already. They don't need a scarring experience or a bad defeat to kind of realise what's required. And obviously you've seen examples of the young guys like Kieran and Jack coming in a couple of years ago to someone like Con and things like that in the last couple of years, that they already seem to have that mentality in it. And it's great for the group, like I say, to push guys on and to keep that standard up. So
I was literally just about to ask, is it the thing that you find as you're older that there's enjoyment with these younger players coming through, that you get to, like, you put an arm around their shoulder and you know, lads, like, you
about that, but it doesn't seem to need an arm.
Exactly. No. You know, it's that whole thing of getting used to the big stage. Once that success keeps coming, you know, you're developing strong, mentally tough players, and physically as well, and they've got the skill to go with it. So it is that thing that if you can keep them hungry, they'll pass it on to the next generation as well.
No, definitely. And like Paddy said, like, we're fortunate enough that them underage teams have had success, so they brought it in. And there's always been one or two representatives that have nearly been on the senior team who've gone down, so they've passed on like the language we might use or some of the stuff we use to that underage team. So it's a really seamless transition. And also, like, I'd say Paddy has probably had a hand in the development of at least 10 or so of the new younger lads coming through his work in coaching. Stephen O'Shaughnessy used to run these Dublin development camps around. Run the Dublin development camps out in DCU. Oh, so we used to get under 14, under 15, under 16, and during the summers we used to all help out with them, like, for a nominal fee.
Pat was in one of those groups.
Con was in one of them. Owen Merchant was in one of them. Brian Howard, basically any of the young lads, most of them have come through development squads. And Paddy used to, like, be on time, punctual, and very enthusiastic. So him and Alan Gary used to, like, bring chairs out while coaching drills. Like,
it's a long day standing up coaching.
You need to have a chair. It's not easy.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, great. Like you said, there's great enjoyment out of that. Like, seeing on Merchant, like, you could tell, like, he was a gem back then when he was playing, very smart on the ball. And to see him go from, like, under 16 or whatever to now being on the senior team, and the same with Con, like, it's good.
He's one of those things, I suppose. Dublin's such a big population. When people actually think, oh yeah, there's a million people in Dublin, but obviously there's not a million in GAA. It's a little small community that you can see all the players come up, but same way you can in any county.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, you obviously the underage championships, and you hear about things, and especially with social media, you get match reports. It's so accessible now. You generally would, even as players, you'd hear about it. I'm sure the coaches, obviously, they're actively looking for it and things like that. And it just comes down to, I suppose, the structures that have been put in place, whatever it was 10, 15 years ago, and the county board have to take, obviously, huge credit for that. And I think a lot of counties have copped on to that. I know Tyrone would have been one of the earlier counties through it as well. They did a lot of success at minor and things like that. And Kerry, obviously, have had huge success in the last couple of years. So, look, it takes that. It doesn't just happen overnight. It doesn't just happen by accident, by chance. So it's great to see that. But, like I said, at the minute, touch wood, it's gone well for Dublin over the last number of years, but there's no guarantee that that's going to happen for forever. You know, you can obviously see the challenges we have in the city, obviously, with Leinster and the success they have. Rugby's gone, like, it's flavoured and won't really at the minute, obviously, with the success the national team have had, and the two provinces doing really well. So that creates a huge challenge for Dublin GAA as well, and obviously the soccer thing as well. So yeah, at the minute and over the last number of years, it's gone really well, but there's no guarantee that's going to be the case. The work has to keep going on, and the coaches and the county board and everyone involved in Dublin GAA keep working and pushing their shoulder to the wheel. So
brilliant. Speaking of wheels, it's time to let you lads out.
Lovely. Great.
Thanks very much.
Great stuff from the lads there. Also, make sure to keep an eye out for the lap times from the day on Dublin GAA's social media channels, as they went head to head with teammates around the Rally School Ireland track. We'll be back soon with the second episode in our Champion series, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast by searching Balls.ie on iTunes and all good podcasting apps.